حمد الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب اليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تسليما مزيدا. وبعد، I would like to first apologize to my brothers and sisters for having them to wait for now 2 hours, a quarter, or 2.5 hours. The circumstances of our arrival were beyond our control. The topic that we have before us this evening, which I will just talk about briefly, since you have all waited for such a long period of time, is concerning two deeds of the deeds of the heart. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created jinn nor men except to worship Me. And it is for this worship that we have our existence. And it is for this worship of Allah alone that Allah has sent His prophets, as He has said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. And we have sent to every single people a messenger saying, worship Allah alone and avoid the taghut. And this issue of worship is an issue where human beings go astray. There are those who do not understand that they should worship Allah, and so therefore they refuse to submit unto Him. As concerning these groups of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. That those who are too proud to enter into my worship, they will be forced, or they will be entered into the hellfire in a state of humiliation. And there are others who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but worship with Him other creatures. Instead of worshiping Allah alone, the Creator, they associate some of His creation with Him. And concerning these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive the sin of worshipping others with Him, but He forgives any other sin to whomever He pleases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Prophet Jesus, the son of Mary, has said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارٍ. That he who commits shirk with Allah, worships others with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forbid paradise for him and will enter him into the hellfire, and that the ones who have caused injustice to their souls by making shirk, they will find no helpers on the day of judgment. What is worship? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his book, has told us many different acts of worship. For instance, he has informed us that du'a is an act of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His Quran, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. That the mosque belongs to Allah, so do not call upon others with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that sacrifice or slaughter is as an act of worship, is an act of worship. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. Say to them that my prayers, my fasting, my sacrifice, my life, my death, all belong to Allah, and I will not make any partner with Him in that. And in this I was commanded, and I am the first of those to submit unto Him. I am the first of the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that fasting, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. For you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, as it was before to the people before you, that you might learn to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we know that worship has many different expressions. However, worship is not only that which is done by the lips, that which is done by the lips, but rather is also that which is done by the heart. For worship, as we know, is a term which includes everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and exceeds. All that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and pleased with, considered worship. And so therefore worship consists of those actions we do by our limbs, by prayer, by du'ah, supplication, by sorcery, sacrificing, like giving vows, like fasting, like waging jihad. These are all acts of worship done by the limbs. And also include things done by the tongue, like reciting the Quran, saying adhan, praising Allah, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These are all acts of worship. And likewise, includes beliefs in the heart. Beliefs in the heart. Like to believe in Allah as His messenger, to believe in the Quran, to believe in the last day, to believe in paradise, to believe in hell, to believe in Allah's all the public decree or qadr. These are all different acts of worship, even though they are beliefs. And likewise, it includes actions of the heart. Actions of the heart. And these actions of the heart are very many. And I've spoken in the past few lectures about some of them, among which is love of Allah, and among which is fear of His wrath, and among which is hope of His mercy, and among which is thankfulness for His blessing, and among which is patience upon His decrees and His commands, whether they are decrees from His decrees that He decrees for a servant, or His religious commands that He has given in His book or the Prophet or the Sunnah. And so therefore, part of worship, part of the act of worship, are two acts of worship which I'd like to talk about somewhat this evening, and that is that of al-tawheed, or specifically al-ikhlas, and that is al-tawakkul, reliance upon Allah. Last night when I spoke about the act of worship, we discussed certain verses from source of fact. And I'd like to pick up the discussion from last night, and the case I'm sure will be available to all of you all in a short period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this book has told us, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Man is the one to be. Allah begins His book with these verses, that all praise belongs to Him, He who is the Lord of all creatures, Rabbil Alameen. And part of Allah's worship or Uluhiyyah is that He provides His servants. He sustains them. He gives them that which they need in order to continue their existence. And these are Allah's blessings. Allah's blessings are so many, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, وَإِن تُعِدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you were to try to count the blessings of Allah, you could not enumerate them all. You could not enumerate them all. And so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all these blessings. The greatest blessing of which is the blessing of Islam, the blessing of Islam. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in His Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَتْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَلْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَكُمْ. That it is today that I have completed for you your religion, and I have perfected for you my blessing. So therefore, the completion of His religion is the perfection of His blessing. And that is the religion of Islam. For Islam is the only religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The religion of Allah is Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That he who ever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he will be amongst the losers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loved because of these blessings. For when someone gives you something, you love them. If you are to be given all these blessings, so many, which you cannot even enumerate, and the greatest blessing of all, that is Islam, in it has your happiness in this world and your salvation in the hereafter. Would you not love that one who has given you these blessings? Of course you would. And so therefore in the verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, is an indication that you must love Allah. And then the next verse says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it describes two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore Allah describes Himself as Ar-Rahman. And Ar-Rahman means He whose nature is one of mercy. That our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a merciful Lord. Kataba ala nafsihi ar-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He has prescribed upon Himself mercy. Our Lord is a merciful Lord, and He has prescribed upon Himself mercy. And He's also Ar-Rahim. And Ar-Rahim is the one who shows mercy. He shows mercy in this world to all the creatures. Every single creature, every single human being, irrespective of that human being is believer or a non-believer. Irrespective of that human being, is it pious or a non-pious, a large person. But in the hereafter, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He is with the believers, merciful. In exclusion to the unbelievers, whom he deals with in justice, and so therefore will punish them in their heaven and fire. And so this verse, since we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, and he shows mercy to his creatures, we therefore then seek his mercy. So in this verse, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, is an indication to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. To seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And to hope for that mercy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man is the one who is. That he is the sovereign owner of the creation. And so therefore, if there's a day of judgment in which people must give an account for what they did, then one fears that perhaps he didn't do what he was required to. Perhaps he had a bad account. Perhaps he had done evil. So in the verse, man is the only being, is an indication of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the first verse, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we learn to love Allah. In the second verse, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, we learn to have sequence of mercy. In the third verse, we learn, Malik Yawmuddin, we learn to fear for his wrath. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone we worship, and if you alone we worship out of love of you, hope of your mercy, fear of your punishment. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. We seek your aid in that worship. We seek your aid in that worship. And so therefore this verse, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, is the whole religion of Islam. The whole religion of Islam is contained in this verse. It is said by some scholars that all the previous books, everything which was revealed in the previous books, was revealed in the Quran. And everything which is in the Quran can be found in the Mufassal. And the Mufassal refers to those surahs which start the sort of off until the end of the Quran. Surah 50 until the end of the Quran. And it said that everything which is in the Quran is contained in meaning in Surah Al-Fatiha. And it said that everything in Surah Al-Fatiha is contained in Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. You alone that we worship, and you alone we seek your aid. And so therefore, this first part of the verse, Iyyaka Na'budu, is the Tawheed. And the second part of the verse, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, is the tawakkul. And what I'd like to do for a few minutes, and then take some of your questions, is discuss some aspects of tawheed and tawakkul. The joining of these two concepts, tawheed, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, and tawakkul, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, can be found throughout the Quran, in other passages of the Quran, among which is the statement of Shu'ayb, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. The Prophet Shu'ayb says that my success is only with Allah. Upon Him I rely, tawakkul, and to Him I turn, which is the tawheed, the worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلَ إِلَيْهِ. Worship Him alone, and rely upon Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us also in the Quran, رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. That, O Allah, our Lord, upon You we have relied, and upon You we have turned, and to You is the journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّي لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. Say that He is my Lord. لا إله إلا هو. So it's not worthy of worship but Him. Upon Him I have relied, and to Him I have turned in worship. And so therefore, this concept, joint of Tawheed and its worship, occurs more than once in the Quran. The verse which I'm sure every single one of us has memorized is true. It's إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. But it occurs in more than one passage, It's about 6 or 7 passages in the Quran. And this is because it is the essence of the religion. And it's required that each and every person who wants to find success in the hereafter understands these two concepts. What is Tawheed? And what is Tawakkul? That you may find how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which He is created. Now, Tawheed means, in general, to worship Allah alone. To worship Allah is the most important aspect of Tawheed. And as I mentioned, it is the purpose for which we were created. The purpose for which we were created is the aim of our existence. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinn nor men except to worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this reason sent the messenger to call humanity to worship Allah alone. Because when humanity starts to worship others with Allah, Allah being a merciful Lord, and a just Lord, sent the messenger to call them to worship Allah alone. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَالشَّرِكُوا بِالطَّاغُوتِ And we have sent to every single people the messenger, saying to them, worship Allah alone and avoid apostles. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in more than one verse to worship Him alone. وَقَدَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا And your Lord has decreed, worship Him alone, and worship and be kind to your parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa, وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا Worship Allah alone and do not associate others with Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the first command in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ خلقكم الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O humanity, worship your Lord who has created you and those before you that perhaps you might hear him. This is the first command in the Quran. When one reads the Quran, he begins in Surah Al-Fatiha, he finds no command in Surah Al-Fatiha. The first part of Surah Al-Fatiha, the description of Allah, and the second part of Surah Al-Fatiha, from Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, is a dua, a prayer to Allah. And then when one begins Surah Al-Baqarah, it begins off with a description of the believers, and then a description of the unbelievers, and then a description of the hypocrites. And then the first command, a command directed to all of humanity, O humanity, worship Allah who has created you and those before you. So what means that you have to my spirit? You might have to tell you. This is the first command in the Quran, and there is no it's not beyond any of us to understand why it is the first command of Quran, because it is the reason why we were created. And so therefore Tawheed is of essential importance that we understand what is Tawheed, and we understand its opposite, its shift. Now what about Tawakkul? The second aspect mentioned in this verse. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ If Tawheed is the aim for our worship, for our existence, to worship Allah alone, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ is the means. Everything needs, has an aim, and needs a means to get you there. We had an aim to come here, and there was a means as well. And so likewise, our aim of existence is Tawheed, and the means which takes us there is the Tawakkul. And the Tawakkul sometimes is translated in English, you might have heard me say now, as reliance, but this is not really a complete translation or a complete understanding of the word. And likewise, sometimes it is called trust. Sometimes you might say, somebody says, put your trust in Allah. In other words, to say, have Tawakkul on Allah. But that is not the meaning of Tawakkul. Tawakkul joins forth both concepts, that of trust and that of trust. Okay? I might trust him in the sense that I feel for him that he will not cheat me, he will not deceive me. But I might not be able to rely upon him. I might not be able to rely upon him because maybe he cannot help me or assist me in what I need him to do. And likewise, I might rely upon one brother because I know he can do what I ask of him, but yet I might not trust him because he's not honest. And so therefore, a trustworthy joins both concepts of trust trusting and relying. For our Lord is trustworthy in the sense that we fear of Him no deception toward us. And likewise, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, and nothing is beyond Him. And so therefore we may rely upon Him to assist us in our needs. And so therefore a celestial has both meanings, or what we would call in the English language, of both trust and reliance. Trust and reliance. And so therefore, when one says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we are saying, we worship you, Allah alone, out of love, hope of your mercy, fear of your wrath, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, we seek your assistance, Allah alone, in what? Completing that worship. Completing that worship. Because this is the greatest matter for one may rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his companion Mu'adh bin Jabal. Mu'adh bin Jabal was one of the scholars of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Mas'ud used to describe him as Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. Used to, when seeing Mu'adh, would used to say, just that he would recite the verse that Ibrahim was an ummah unto himself. And so he would say this about Mu'adh, and Mu'adh is a great scholar. Maybe they used to say that about Ibn Mas'ud, maybe every person. But the point is, Mu'adh is a great scholar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to Yemen to preach to Islam, and said to him, "Oh Mu'adh, I am sending you to a people of the people of the scriptures." So what's the first thing you call them to is that they worship Allah alone. Many of you might be familiar with this hadith. And likewise, the Prophet at one time told Mu'adh, Mu'adh was sitting behind him on a donkey, and he said, "Oh Mu'adh, do you know what is Allah's right upon his creature? And what is his creature's right upon him?" So Mu'adh said, "Allah and his messenger know best." And then the donkey went a little bit further. The Prophet said, "Oh Mu'adh, do you know what Allah's right is upon his creatures? And what his creatures write upon him?" And Mu'adh said, "Allah and his messenger know best." And after the third time, the Prophet told him, and the Prophet said, "Allah's right upon his creatures is that they worship him alone and do not associate anything with him. And his creatures right upon him is that if they worship him alone, he will not punish them. He will not punish them." One of the things that the Prophet told Mu'adh showed you the closeness of Mu'adh to the Prophet. In the sense that the Prophet trusted him to send him to Yemen to preach to the people of the world. And Mu'adh also sat on a donkey behind the Prophet. You know, usually, when you're going somewhere in a car, you usually want those brothers who are closest to you to ride with you. So therefore, the Prophet wanted Mu'adh to sit on the donkey with him. It's an indication of the virtue of Mu'adh. And the Prophet loved Mu'adh and had such high regard to Mu'adh that Mu'adh sat behind and donkey behind the Prophet. And also, it's an indication of the humbleness of the Prophet in the sense that he did not mind that people riding upon an animal. You know, arrogant people, for instance, don't want others to ride the car with them. They want to go by themselves. But humble people say, "Okay, he'll let us as we can into the car." And this is another indication of the Prophet's high moral character, in the sense that he allowed Mu'adh to ride on the donkey. But what is it? Take the third hadith concerning Mu'adh. One time the Prophet told Mu'adh, said, "Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuka. Oh Mu'adh, I love you." And then he told, what a great thing to have been said, that the Prophet told Mu'adh, "I love you." And then he told him, just not to ever forget to say after any salah, "Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika." Oh Allah, assist me, aid me in remembering you, in being thankful to you, and in worshiping you in the best manner. And this is a tawakkul. As I said, tawakkul is the means by which we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, the Prophet did not say to Mu'adh, did not tell Mu'adh, say, "Oh Mu'adh, say after each prayer, oh Allah, assist me in getting my daily bread. as the Christians say. What is the Christian prayer, right? Well, as the Father, give me my, don't forget me, meals, our daily bread, or something like that, right? But rather, he told him to the true meaning of what he is, to seek his assistance in worshiping him, in remembering him, and in thanking him. And so therefore, when we come to the verse, إِيَّاكَنَا عَبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَنَا اسْتَعِينَ, إِيَّاكَنَا اسْتَعِينَ means first and foremost, above all things, is that, O Allah, we seek your assistance in worshiping. As in the hadith of Mu'adh, اللَّهُمَّ أَعِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ وَشُكْرِكَ وَاسْتِجِبَادَكَ. O Allah, assist me in your remembrance, and in your thankfulness, and thanking you, and in worshiping you in the proper manner. Now, unfortunately, people have divided concerning these two principles into four groups. People are four groups regarding these two principles of Tawheed, worshiping Allah alone, and what was relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those who have worshiped Allah alone and have made worship upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And these are the best of the creation. And this is what is required of each of us. At tawakkul, trust and reliance with Allah, as I trust upon Allah and reliance in Him, is a deed of the heart, as Imam Ahmed has said. It is an action of the heart. It is not something which is done upon the tongue. It is not something which is done by the lips. But it's something which is upon the heart. That your heart trusts your Lord, and your heart submits to your Lord, so therefore it relies only upon Allah and none other. Remember that. As tawakkul is a deed of the heart. Some people think that tawakkul is a deed of the tongue. They say, oh Allah, I trust in Allah. I rely upon Allah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. If they want to do something, they say, tawakkaltu ala Allah. No. As tawakkul is not upon the tongue. But tawakkul is really in the heart. And it does not mean you do not misunderstand it, because you cannot say, tawakkaltu ala Allah. It's just something permissible. But the point is, the truth of that matter is only there if you have your heart of trusted Allah and has relied upon Him. It's just like in the same sense that if you say, I love Allah, it doesn't mean anything when it's on your tongue. It only means something if that love is truly in the heart. And so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a text for that. That if a person truly loves Allah, he should follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهَ يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say to humanity, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you truly love Allah as you claim, then follow Him. Allah will love you and forgive you your sin. Allah will love you and forgive you your sin. So therefore, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anybody can say, I love Allah. But what is the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is true to the heart? Anyone can say, I fear Allah. But what is the true indication of fear of Allah? By saying words to that which He has forbidden. Anybody can say, I have hope in Allah's mercy. But what is the true indication of having hope in Allah's mercy? By praying to Him, submitting to Him, and doing that which He has commanded. And likewise, what is the true indication of relying upon Allah and trusting Him or tawakkul? It is a deed of the heart. A deed of the heart. So therefore, the question of people have gathered between worshipping Allah alone and trusting Allah and relying upon Him alone. In completing their worship, first and foremost, above worship. Because we all know that the animals and the creatures all rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, the Prophet has said that had you relied upon Allah as you deserve, had trusted Him as you deserve, you would be like the birds. They go out with their bellies empty and they return with their bellies full. So this shows that the birds rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide them with sustenance. So relying in principle upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for worldly like getting God, like having enough to feed oneself and family, or clothe oneself and family, or gaining any material possession, is something which the animals also partake in. And so therefore there is nothing virtuous about it. It is something which every single creature does. Every single creature is required, whether it wants to recognize that or not, to have trust and learn from Allah to get the trust. But the thing which distinguishes us from the animals, which distinguishes us from the other creatures, which distinguishes us from the unbelievers,
is that we trust and rely upon the law in what? In completing our worship. In completing our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, obviously, the first category of people are those who worship Allah alone and have blessed upon Him alone and trust in Him Allah alone. There's a opposite of people. Those who neither worship Allah nor those who rely upon Him alone. Like the people from the ship. The people who pull a ship worship other people. And therefore also, when they need something, they trust and rely upon other than Allah. When the Christian wants to pray, he prays to Jesus. And when the Christian wants to fear something, and he needs something to hold upon, something to prop him up, he clutches onto his cross. And the Hindu does it with his idol. And the other disbeliever, who are, like, for instance, a grave worshipper, who runs to a grave and call upon the dead man when they're in need of something, and they'll say, oh, so-and-so, you know, I'm in trouble, provide me something. So their heart and their worship, their direction and their heart is upon those objects of worship. So they are in complete contrast to the first one, which is given its worship only to Allah, and which is given its corruption only to Allah. These are people who have neither given their worship, nor has given its corruption to Allah to come to God. However, there's a third one. And this third one is those who have worship, but not have corruption upon Allah. In other words, they worship Allah. This occurs with many believers. You find many Muslims, many believers, don't have shirk. They worship Allah, Allah, but yet they do not rely upon Allah to complete that worship. They do not seek Allah's assistance in worshiping Him, but rather they rely upon their own devices, their own strength. And so therefore their worship is incomplete. Because the means by which you achieve true worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, the aim is to worship Allah, Allah, and the means for that aim is its blessedness, can only come when you rely and trust upon Allah to complete that worship. And so therefore, some believers will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, but yet they will not trust and rely in Him to complete that worship. And there's a fourth group of people. Those who trust upon Allah, but yet do not worship. And these are the impious. You know, sometimes very impious people, you might read those stories, they say, you know, a person wants to commit a robbery. And before he commits the robbery, he hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him successful. Yet he doesn't pray or fast. Well, this is the third. And these types of people, they trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they know that they cannot complete anything without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. Yet they are unwilling to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship. So therefore they have trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some wicked and impious people, yet they will not worship Allah alone. These are the four categories of people. The best one, of course, is those who worship Allah alone and rely upon Him, trust in Him, in order to complete that worship. The worst group of people are those who neither worship Allah nor trust upon Him. There are those in between the two who have either worship of Allah alone or trust of Allah alone, reliance upon Him with exclusion to the other aspects. And there's one other comment I'd like to make before I close this short lecture and give you an opportunity to get any questions, because I know you've been here for an extremely long time. What about, what is the relationship between tawakkul upon Allah and cause? You know, many Muslims believe, have a misunderstanding of tawakkul. They want to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they do not know where does cause and effect from. There's a principle. Whoever recognizes cause and effect, and his heart is only upon those causes, is to be shirk of Allah. And whoever does not recognize cause and effect, he has something wrong with his sanity. And whoever recognizes cause and effect, and his heart is upon Allah, trusting and relying in Him, and trusting upon Him, then he is the one, a person of Tawheed. He is the one, a person of Tawheed. What does that mean? We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom, has placed certain rules, certain laws in the universe. And therefore, one must, in order to complete something, rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but likewise one must follow the laws
of the universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned. If somebody wants a child, somebody wants a baby, can he have a baby without having a relationship with his wife? Is it possible that he can sit at home or sit in one city and his wife is in another city, and then all of a sudden his wife will become bear a child for him? No. If somebody was hungry, so he just sits at home and expects food just to come to him and eat, and that way remove his hunger? No. So therefore there are causes and effects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that in order for children to be born, men and women have to have relations with one another. And it is from this union that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, a child will come forth from it, a child comes forth. But without that, without taking that cause, the end product will not occur. And so therefore there are some people who rely only upon the cause. This is what they hope their success is. For example, when a person is sick, the person has a headache. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in aspirin a certain property, it's a chemical, which is aspirin. There is a certain property which relieves headache. This is a law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the universe, that when these chemicals, this aspirin, right, interact with the chemicals in the brain, the headache is relieved. So therefore, if one takes the aspirin, where is one part supposed to rely upon, and where is he supposed to trust? If he relies and trusts only in the aspirin, he's making sure. Because the aspirin itself will not take effect unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a law that aspirin does this effect, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills otherwise, then Allah will prevail over all things. And this is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills otherwise, even though fire burns a person, if you put your hand in fire, you will be burned. But yet Allah wills otherwise. When they threw Abraham in the fire, it was cool and did not harm. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. So therefore, to rely and to trust the cause and effect, the cause for some certain effect which is deep, is shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to neglect these causes and effects, to say I just rely upon Allah, but not seeking these causes and effects, means there's something wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wished certain things to certain things. That when certain matters happen, certain results occur. So therefore, to neglect them, and to pay no attention to those as if they do not exist, to claim at the same time that one is relying upon Allah, that is some faultiness in one's ability to understand. These are like the Sufis, who say that they don't, that they're trustful, they rely upon Allah, they trust in Allah, they claim, but yet they do not seek the causes and effects. There's somebody who says to them, okay, go get a job, you need something to, you know, be able to provide for them. So I trust in Allah, not God. What trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that? That is not trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that is just an indication of someone's craziness, that he doesn't want to work. And likewise, the person who is trusted and relies upon Allah, but at the same time takes those causes and those means to its fullest. This is the true implication of self-esteem. This is the true implication of self-esteem. So therefore, if one has a headache, he trusts in Allah, and he relies upon him because he knows that in the end, Allah is the one who cures him. But he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that this medication removes that illness. So his heart is trusting Allah, that Allah will cure him. His heart is relying upon Allah, and at the same time, he takes that cause from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his decree in order to remove that effect. That decree he uses to remove the other decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, when the Prophet was asked, should we take medicine? The Prophet said, seek medication, O servant of Allah, because it is from Allah's qadr. And so therefore, even though illness is from Allah's qadr, his decree, likewise medication is from his decree. So we, the people of the Sunnah, the people who understand Tawheed, we fight one decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with another decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we say in our dua, we always go from one decree to another decree. We go from one thing that Allah has decreed for us to another thing. And therefore we say in our dua, oh Allah, we seek refuge from your punishment with your
pleasure. And from you, with you. So the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always going from one decree of Allah to another decree of Allah. He cannot escape that. Because we are all his servants in his place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that there is no other will that overcomes his will in his heavenly kingdom. That was a short summary of the Tawheed and its lesson. And as I mentioned before, that this discussion was an extension of three other discussions concerning the actions of the heart. The first one, which was concerning dependence to Allah, and the second one, which was regarding thankfulness and patience, and the third one yesterday concerning love, hope, and fear, and now we have Tawheed and Tawakkul. And together, those four tapes, or these four sessions, inshallah, ta'ala, provide some introduction to the topic. Even though due to different travels and so forth, we were never able to really go into these topics as much detail as we want left and as we discuss. But inshallah, I found another opportunity available. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And if there are any questions, you can take them for some time. Exactly. Either one of two things. Either you understand everything or you don't understand anything. So I don't know how to how do you increase in Tawakkul? This is a good question. This is the type of questions I like. How does one increase in Tawakkul? By knowing the Lord. Since Tawakkul is the need of your heart, and it means to trust and to rely, the more you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you know Allah's names and attributes, the more you witness Allah's creed in the universe around you, the greater your tawakkul will be. So therefore, tawakkul has to have knowledge of Allah's name in the country. And it has to have not just knowing Allah's name just by memorizing his name, but understanding the effects of these names in the world around you. So for instance, when somebody knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name as Kareem, he might translate it as a general term. And then he witnesses Allah's kindness and generosity and mercy around him to increase his tawakkul. Because when he knows that Allah is al-Kareem, and he sees his heart is Allah, so he witnesses Allah's generosity and kindness in the world around him. And when he sees Allah's blessing, he makes him reflect, oh, this is because my Lord is a generous Lord. Then therefore, when he wants to rely upon Allah, he will have true tawakkul and trust reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, names and attributes, and afterwards knowing the effects or the implications of those names and attributes in the world around him, what increases tawakkul. And this is why those people who had the most tawakkul were the prophets of Allah. Because they were the most knowledgeable regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowledge of Allah's names and attributes, my brothers and sisters, is the greatest knowledge of all. The greatest knowledge of all in the universe is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. To know Allah's names and attributes is greater than to know fiqh. Fiqh, for instance, is knowledge of the human interaction. So it's something dealing with humans. But to know your Lord is more important than to know your Lord's laws, fiqh, the fiqh or the sharia. In that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. And likewise, to know Allah's names and attributes is greater than to know medicine, for instance. Because medicine, or biology, for instance, deals with knowing a human being. So what is more important, to know Allah's names and attributes, or to know a human being? Which of the two knowledges is more worthy, more virtuous, and more better? Obviously, knowledge of Allah's names and attributes. We recognize that, for instance, that a doctor is more worthy than a veterinarian. Why? Because we recognize that knowledge of a human being is better than knowledge of a cow. Because human beings are better than cows, or at least some human beings. So therefore, the point is that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest knowledge of all. It includes every single Muslim, male or female, young or old, spend some time in his life to study Allah's names and attributes,
that is by bringing closer to Allah and being him rewarded in he or she sleeps on the day of judgment.
You mentioned about taking the tablet. If you took it with the intention that you're going to get the cure because of the faith, you are committing an act of sin. But what is the intention? The intention, some of the believers, because of the word, the condition and the stress they go under. They take the tablet unintentionally thinking that that's the hypocrite. And how do you make this shift into the shift kafir?
Okay. See, brother asked a very good question. And I didn't say that that's not taking the aspirin and what I meant by shift and so forth. I didn't say one's intention. Let's be very careful. Because when one takes aspirin, his intention is to remove the headache. And that's fine. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that this chemical removes this chemical. And that's okay. But where is one's trust and reliance? Where is one's